This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Moody's Dental. Don't let the coronavirus self-quarantine keep you in dental pain. They're open and ready to get you out of pain. Call 305-821-0231 or visit moodysdental.com.
It's a Tolentino Tuesday! Yeah! The boys get ready for a little Jags action on Thursday night. Josh Tolentino does an excellent job of covering the Miami Dolphins on a daily basis for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at JCT Sports. Josh, good afternoon, my friend. How are you doing, sir?
Big O, literally just hung up and finished our conversation with Fitz. You got to check out the tweet. You know, you're talking about Twitter. I just tweeted one of his quotes from his Zoom right now, and he just dunked on Minshew Mania, talking about beard versus mustache. So, you know, obviously one of the exciting quarterback matchups this week, this Thursday in Jacksonville.
That's right. And for those of you that aren't watching, it says the mustaches versus the beards. I think the beard is cooler. Guys that grow mustaches have patchy sides, is what he put. Yeah. Well, I always used to make fun of Ricky Williams, because Ricky would try to grow a beard and he couldn't grow a beard. It was all patchy, and it was, you know, I got a side with Fitz on this, because there are those dudes out there that try to grow the beard and they really can't grow a beard. And if you can't grow a beard, then sometimes you can only settle for the stash. So I get it. I get it. Makes sense.
Hey, I'm jealous of both of them. You know, I can't really grow that facial hair, but you know, regardless, it should be, you know, an exciting on-field product when those offenses are up there in Jacksonville this, in a couple of days.
Hey, listen, being hairy is not a real positive. I just want you to know, Josh, okay, take it from a hairy dude, it's not a fun thing to have to shave all the time and your face is like sandpaper. In fact, I had a sponsor once. And actually, we still go to it because my wife actually goes to it, but a laser hair removal place. And I did it like 5 times on my face. And that actually has relieved some of the sandpaper off my face now. So I have like less facial hair. But I got to tell you, bro, it's no fun having to shave all the time, man.
Hey, I'll take the blessings, man. It's, it was fun. You know, we talked for maybe like 12, 15 minutes, and I want to say at least half of it was talking about the beard and the mustache. So it was all in good favor.
That's cool. See, I was an idiot, because when I was 15, right, I could grow a beard. And so I had the beard, the mustache when I was 15. I was going into clubs. And so back in those days, it was 18 at that time to get in to clubs and drinking and all that. Yes, I am old. Yes, folks, I get it. Anyway, so at 18, it was the drinking age. And so I was able to get into clubs when I was 15 because I had a beard. And I thought that was cool. But I didn't know that that meant that I was actually stricken with the, you know, the hairy deal. And it was going to be terrible. And as you get older, bro, it's like hair is growing out of places you never expected. So trust me.
Hey, I'll take it as it comes, because yeah, It'll probably be a while.
Yeah, good for you, bro. Good for you. Anyway, Josh, what'd you think? Because I am not of the panic part here after 2 weeks. They lost 102-10 last year in the first 2 weeks, 43-0 to the Patriots. I saw a team that cut the Patriot game to 3 late in the game. They lost this week by 3 and made a bunch of mistakes. To me, it's not as bad as some people are making it out to be. This team has already started off with no offseason, more competitive than they were last year, and they had major turnover. So where are you on the panic meter?
Yeah, I think I'm more tame on that. I think you look at the end of this past game, there were just so many opportunities for them to seal it, and you know, obviously they weren't able to, but you could really single out any of those late moment instances that, and you got to remember, these guys, not only do they have no offseason, a lot of them are already dealing with injuries, and we know the injury landscape across the league. Thankfully, not many, you know, the Dolphins don't have a handful of serious ones. You know, they do have their nicks and bruises here. Obviously, Byron Jones missed almost an entire game. Not looking good for him this Thursday, but the one play I want to bring up specifically is Kyle Van Noy. You know, they won't tell us the extent of his injury, but he's been, you know, hampered here for a pretty long time now, pretty much since the beginning of training camp. You know, something in his hand. There's got to be some type of broken bone in that hand. Obviously, that's speculation, but he's been casting it up every time he's on the field. And he basically had a gift from, I mean, it was really a gift. It should have been an interception when the Dolphins had the lead late in the game. You know, you think that, you know, Matt Breida, Jordan Howard, they just run it out to seal the victory. You know, unfortunately for the Dolphins, he couldn't come up with that pick. And obviously Josh Allen just continued to dominate throughout the entirety of the game. But I'm going to say, you know, let's tame it for a little bit. You know, let's see how they handle a Jaguars team that's actually been pretty impressive. A lot of people thought they were in tank mode and we're going to go down pretty easily here these first few weeks. And the offense is actually one of been their brightest spots. So, you know, this offense won't be as explosive as New England and Buffalo especially, but I think this will be a good test for to see how the defense responds after giving up more than 500 yards this past Sunday.
Josh, has tank become a lazy term for people? Because, I mean, a lot of people are end up like the Dolphin thing. I kept telling everybody they weren't tanking last year, and finally people figured out that they weren't tanking. They were just trying to rebuild through youth and trying to win through youth. They're not trying to lose. They're trying to win with youth. And obviously that's really tough in the NFL when you're going in that direction. But eventually they figured it out, and they went 5-4 in their last 9 games. And like you just said about the Jags, well, they said they were tanking. People are saying the Patriots were going to tank too. Well, that's just not the case. Why do we have this lazy term that people just, well, just because somebody's going to reset their team, it means that they're trying to lose, when really they're not trying to lose. They're just finding another way to rebuild.
Yeah, when you look at Miami's opponent specifically on Thursday, Jacksonville, you know, seeing what they did right before really training camp started, and, you know, into training camp, you know, we'll single out one, losing Leonard Fournette and just deciding to willingly part ways with him with nothing in return at all. That kind of signaled, you know, hey, we're really entering this next phase, and, you know, fans want to call it tanking, but you look at the number one draft pick next year, the consensus number one that, you know, everyone's predicting, Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson, the quarterback stud. You know, Gardner Minshew, he's saying not quite so fast. You
right.
know, he's come out here and he's strung two good performances, and, you know, they've got a good receiver group down there. And you know what? The Dolphins weren't able to stop the pass this week against Buffalo. And, you know, they've obviously got way more explosive receivers in Stephon Diggs, John Brown, Cole Beasley that torched the secondary. But, you know, I'm really excited to actually see how the Dolphins match up and respond, because, you know, week one, it was they couldn't stop the run and they couldn't stop Cam Newton, you know, keeping things open in the backfield. And week two, they did a better job at stopping the run. But hey, now it's the pass that they couldn't stop. So. I think the Jags will bring a mix of both, more so the pass, but I really want to see how this secondary bounces back, and speaking with several of them this week.
Yeah, and Josh, sometimes it's just, and I hate to put it this way, but sometimes a team is just saying, you know, it's time, we just got to part ways with this asshole. And whether it's Leonard Fournette, whether it's Minka Fitzpatrick, who – you know, is just defying everything you're doing and going to drills that he's not supposed to go to and all that. And it gets to a point where you just have to part ways with the guy, whether you got to release him or you got to trade him or whatever it is. But it does sometimes get to that point where just people say, you know what, we're done with you one way or another. We just can't have this in the locker room anymore. And if we can't get what we want for it, we just got to move you and move on. Sometimes it's really just all about that.
Yeah, I think you just think about Dolphins' recent history. Minka Fitzpatrick last year, Raekwon McMillan, Josh Rosen just this past couple months. So
Whiteside with the Miami Heat. I mean, dude, it goes on in all sports. You know, it gets to a point where you draw the line in the sand. And you say, you know what, I can't deal with this anymore. We got to move. We got to part ways with this guy.
Yeah, exactly. And in the Jags' case, they've actually been doing a pretty good job handling it. And, you know, I'm super intrigued about their running back, you know, for personal reasons. Actually, I went to school with James Robinson, undrafted rookie out of Illinois State. And, you know, he scored his first touchdown. He actually outdueled Derrick Henry against the Titans this past Sunday. So, you know, in week one, again, we talk about it all the time, but the Dolphins couldn't contain the run. How will they contain James Robinson on Thursday while also, you know, paying attention to the Jaguars receivers? Because if anything, we saw that Fitz rebounded and that he was ready to go, and that Chan Gailey's offense looked more so what we were expecting when they brought Chan to Miami, that it's very multiple and that they got guys like Isaiah Ford involved this past Sunday. Preston Williams still has to get it going. Devontae Parker is playing through an injury. But, you know, there are several names now getting involved in that offense, and they showed that they were able to rebound from week one. I think up to week three, it's actually the defense that we need to pay attention to now.
Josh Tolentino joins us every Tuesday here to talk a little Dolphins. A Tolentino Tuesday at 12:30 on Tuesdays. You can catch him here. Josh, two-part question. One, your thoughts on the Noah Diggs thing that they didn't switch X up with him. And then two, you heard Josh Boyer's explanation on why they kind of stayed the way they did and all the things that they were taking into account to make that decision. So one, your thoughts on it, and then the Dolphin explanation. What did you surmise from all of that?
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't too upset, you know, and especially if you're a fan, you can't be upset at the decision. Really, I wasn't too surprised that when I saw Noah first line up against Diggs early on. But I think when it comes to mid-game adjustments, you got to question it. You know, if something's not working, you got to change something, because Stephon Diggs, it wasn't just one quarter, two quarters, one half. It was really the whole game that he was burning the Dolphins secondary, and most of that fell at the hands of Noah Igbinoghene. The thing with Noah, though, is that you can't really question the decision at the beginning of the game, because Noah was one of the best corners throughout all of camp. You know, Xavien Howard missed literally all of training camp, being on the PUP and COVID list, and Byron Jones took time to get acclimated, and Byron wasn't an option this past Sunday, going down with a groin injury. His status for this Thursday is unknown, and you know, actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't out there. So if you see Noah out there getting all the run again this Thursday, that would not be a surprise, because I think they're really high on this rookie, and for good reason, and more so, I mean, this was going to happen. You know, as good as Noah was,
every rookie goes to I reminded people, I was the beat guy when Pat Surtain was starting, and he was lost his rookie year, my man. I mean, it's nothing new to have a rookie, even if he's talented, not play well his first year and screw up all over the place and not, you know, have his head spinning. That's actually normal. You know, the ones that make the quick adjustments are the guys you pick top five overall in the draft, like Charles Woodson and Deion Sanders and freaks like that. Those are the guys that maybe make a quick adjustment, but those are the instant Hall of Fame type players. The rest of them, the Pat Surtains or the Noahs of the world, they normally struggle their first year. It's normal.
Yeah, and with Noah Igbinoghene, I think it was kind of his welcome to the NFL moment.
Right.
Because on, you know, week one, it was obviously the run that we've talked about many times, that which the Dolphins defense struggled with. Noah really wasn't tested in week one, but in week two, you know, Stephon Diggs said, you know, Rook, welcome to the NFL, and he pretty much baptized him into the league with just so many ridiculous routes and really just out-dueling him with speed. So, you know, but again, I'm not going to be surprised if Noah's out there getting all the run again this Thursday, because that's what he's being acclimated, or that's what's been asked of him. But let's see what they do against Gardner Minshew on Thursday.
I got to tell you, Josh, I'm a big fan of Preston Williams. I think most of us have become big fans of him since he bursted onto the scene last year in training camp, where X actually called him out, like saying this guy's got number one potential. And I believe he does have that number one potential that X talked about. At that moment, we thought X was crazy and he was just talking up a teammate, but he was actually, you know, really forecasting a really talented kid. But there's one knock that's been on him since he's been here, and it wasn't the off-the-field stuff. It's been the drops. He had several last year and kind of got over it, and then he got injured. And last week, in a key moment, he had a key drop. This is something that is – this is the one thing that he's got to overcome so far as a wide receiver. What's been the issue when you talk to him, the coaches? What does he have to do? Is it all mental? What does he tell you?
Yeah, and you look at Preston, and, you know, from what I've heard, I heard he plays better at home. So I was really looking forward to seeing how he would perform this past Sunday at Hard Rock. And you know what? He made a terrific catch down the right sideline that was, you know, basically almost ended in a touchdown. He was stopped right near the goal line. But you look at the overall body of his performance, and it was not great. Oh, and you, the drop that you're specifically mentioning, man, it was on fourth and goal from the one, and he ran a slant route. Really no one near him when the ball got to his hands, and you know, for whatever reason, he just wasn't able to secure it. And you look at his total stat line, 5 targets, only 1 catch, and that catch I was just referring to was that impressive fly down the right side. Well, the Dolphins are going to need more than just, you know, 1 catch. And you look at, again, his situation. Tore his ACL last year, really when things were starting to go his way. And, you know, this is just his 3rd game back. So is it, you know, fear of the injury, playing at 100% and just really giving it your all? And you look across the league, just all the injuries that happen from only this weekend. I mean, there's got to be some doubt in anybody's mind. And these guys are the top of their craft in the world, you know, to play their positions and their sport. But, you know, when you see all these injuries and you're coming off a serious one off your own, who knows? Maybe there's something going through his head that he really just needs to overcome that final hurdle. But I think Preston will get it back because, you know, throughout training camp, I went on record to say that he was the most impressive receiver when he was out there. So, again, another guy to pay attention to, especially since Devontae Parker himself isn't fully 100% with that hamstring issue.
And I would imagine that, I mean, I got to tell you something with Parker. Here's the thing with him. He's showing me some toughness now, where as a guy that has been brought down by injuries, example, last year he gets the concussion. He comes back and scores 2 touchdowns the following week, where we all thought, well, he's probably out this week, and he didn't. He came back. Okay, he gets the hamstring injury. We think he's out, and no, he comes back this week and makes a couple of really tough catches, physical catches. I got to tell you, I've admired the new Devontae Parker that is obviously a little bit more, what's it called, confident. And at the same time, he's kind of showing a different Devontae Parker than he did in the first part of his career here with the Dolphins.
Yeah, and I think the sign to see him out there on Sunday, and not just out there, but, I mean, he had a touchdown. So to see that and know that he's not 100%, that's really all you can ask as a fan or a follower of the team is that, you know, he knows he's not 100%. He has issues with soft tissue injuries, and you know what? He's still lined up there despite the quick turnaround, and I'm expecting to see him out there again on Sunday. But I can't believe we made it this far in the show without talking about freaking Mike Gesicki, because he was a freaking beast.
I know.
This past Sunday, he really showed out, and you know, a lot of times appeared out of that slot position, you know, naturally a tight end. And I think he's really, and you know, we saw a lot of this last year, you know, finished 2nd most in touchdowns and on the team, but he's really starting to come out, and you see that chemistry between him and Fitz. It really seems pretty seamless out there on the field.
Yeah. It's fun to watch the growth of Mike Gesicki, because obviously he had a rough rookie year. You had people already. I always laugh, Josh, because, you know, you got fans and even media members that, you know, a rookie, they're ready to give up on the guy after his first year because he has a rough year with Gesicki. you know, and now you see him and he's a completely different player and he's getting better every single week. Like a lot of young guys, man, when they get to this league, they don't, you know, Christian Wilkins started off kind of slow and then he got better as his rookie year went on. And I think a lot of people felt better about Christian going into this season compared to some of these other guys. But, you know, I've seen people give up on Jakeem after his rookie year and he came back and bounced back. So to me, it's really nice to see this, but we watch what's going on with Noah and all of a sudden you'll have people that are getting negative on Noah. And it's like, dude, he's a rookie. Give him some time. Plus, you thrusted him into a position that he wasn't ready for, and he goes up against one of the 10 best route runners in the NFL in Stephon Diggs, which I don't think people realize. I'm not telling you Diggs is one of the best receivers in the NFL. I'm telling you Diggs is one of the best route runners in the NFL. He knows how to set up corners better than most people do in the league. And that's a really tough assignment for a young guy like that. So to get down on people like Gesicki and Noah and Jakeem and all these kind of cats in their first year, I just find it baffling, bro. I really do.
Yeah, again, and you know, you bring it back to Gesicki. I think you really see him thriving now. He built that relationship and that chemistry with Fitz last year. Fitz knew whenever he was in trouble that he could, you know, they developed this relationship that if he threw it in Gesicki's way, he knew that there would at least be a chance of him making a play on the ball, that if you get the ball within the vicinity of Mr. Mike Gesicki, that he's going to go up and give it his all and use his body against the, you know, whatever opposition is on him and make the best play on the ball. And then now you're just seeing a continuation of that foundation that they built, is that, man, Fitz threw like so many, I think he had 11 targets this past Sunday, and Gesicki almost caught everything. He had, I think he had 8 catches, 130 yards, a touchdown. But I mean, if Dolphins fans haven't seen it, and I know most have, you got to go back and look at the highlight tape, because there was just this one throw and catch that Gesicki, he made running across the field behind his body, one-handed. There really are not that many people in the entire world, not just players in the league, that can make that catch. It was just so impressive. And, again, patience is needed, as you know what we're talking about here.
All right, Josh, so let me put you in an impossible position and a question you probably can't answer, so you'll probably thank me for putting you in this position. This is a really tough offseason. Most teams didn't have an offseason. A lot of teams are out of sync, but for some miracle, some things are in sync. Some things are playing pretty well. One of them is the Dolphin offensive line, my brother. 80% change on that line. Only Jesse Davis is the one lone returning dude. And yet somehow or another, they've allowed 2 sacks in the first 2 weeks. Miles Gaskins either averages 4 or 6 yards a carry. Take your pick. Can you explain this? Can you explain how a team that didn't have an offseason and the toughest position to actually develop chemistry, I believe, is the offensive line. How in the hell are these guys playing this well?
Yeah, I honestly thought, I mean, you look at the New England game, I kind of thought that was a wash, you know, just considering all the names that the New England's defense lost. They didn't have really any stud players. But you look at Buffalo, who they just faced, and, you know, that's a pretty serious front seven. I know they were missing 2 of their starting linebackers, but again, those edge rushers, those are legit edge guys. And, you know, for the most part, Miami held its own. And that was actually the first question that I asked Flo on Monday morning, was how do you think the offensive line held up in week 2 and how are they coming together? And, you know, Flo is very, when he speaks, he doesn't reveal too much of what he's feeling.
Yeah.
But you know what? He actually said that they held it together, and obviously improvement for any position, but and as they could, you know, they could have not given up that sack, but for the most part, they've really held their own. And you look at the 4 other guys outside of Jesse Davis, 2 veteran guys and Eric Flowers and Ted Karras, and then 2 rookies, Austin Jackson and Solomon Kinley. And so far that they've held their own. I mean, yeah, they're going to get beat a couple times. I think that's with anyone. With those power rushes and bull moves down there, swim moves, whatever you have it, they're going to get beat. But it's not about when you get beat. It's about how you recover and how long Fitz or Miles Gaskin or Jordan Howard can maintain possession of the ball and move the chain. So far, through 2 weeks, I think it's definitely safe to say that they've been impressive to this point.
No doubt about it, man. And I would imagine selfishly for you, you got to pull for a guy like Solomon Kinley because he's got a personality, brother. And that's fun to have a guy that can talk to and bring a little color to the conversation. And Solomon does that, so he's gonna be a good follow if he stays as a starter for you.
Yeah, Solomon's been one of my favorite interviews throughout, really since the season has started. Even during training camp, he always brings the energy in his Zooms, and you know, it's pretty refreshing in today's age or this season of the Zoom interviews, and you know how uncandid guys can be, or non-candid, I should say. And Solomon's the exact opposite, so he brings a lot of flavor to the room whenever he's in there. And not just that, he's been backing up on the field for the most part. Two NFL games, and so far he's you know, stood the test nicely.
Follow him on Twitter at JCT Sports. Catch his work there at The Athletic. And right now you can subscribe $1 a month, bro. Okay, so get on it right now. You'll get all your local and national coverage from The Athletic for $1 a month, which is just absolutely crazy, too. Josh, what are you working on the Dolphins side so folks can get ready for Jags-Dolphins Thursday night?
Hey, you know what it is. It's the biggest quarterback matchup of this weekend, and it's not Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. It's not Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. Nah. It is the beard versus the mustache. Fitz and Minshew come out here on Thursday. So, you know, looking forward to previewing that and seeing the action, you know, unravel on the field. And, you know, what I should have asked Fitz, what I regret right before getting on our call, you know, when I was on the Zoom, he should make a bet with Minshew. You know, someone has to cut their facial hair, trim it, something, you know,
because
that'd be a pretty funny wager, I think, with, you know, two of the icon quarterbacks in the league.
I like it. They first meet on a field and then they meet at a barbershop. It's a beautiful thing. All right. Follow him on Twitter at JCT.
Hey, Bigo, appreciate you, man.
Hey, man, much love, brother. JCT Sports on Twitter. He is Josh Tolentino. Catch his work there at The Athletic. Josh, as always, thank you, brother. It's a Tolentino Tuesday. You're the man.
All right, take care, Bigo.
Be good. Josh Tolentino, baby.